From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM, America's most listened to late night talk show. Open lines at the half this hour. Next hour, the safety of nuclear power with scientist David Lockbaum. Get ready for that. We've had a few scares lately. By the way, this just in for me. Happened yesterday, but we've all been notified it now. Kenny Young, a reporter and editor of UFOResearch.com and a multi-award-winning producer, director, and writer, has died in Ohio after a nine-year struggle with leukemia. He was 38 years old. He investigated UFO incidents all around the country and was responsible for a two-hour NBC television program and also for sci-fi sightings. He was very, very good at what he did, dead at the age of 38 years old. Pope John Paul II has been rushed to a hospital in Rome after suffering the crisis of larynx spasms. Shortly after midnight, Vatican spokespeople say that because of the spasms, it was decided to urgently hospitalize the Pope. He was taken to the hospital. The Pope has been suffering from the flu since Sunday and apparently suffering a breathing crisis. This is not the first time the 84-year-old pontiff has battled illness, but his health combined with his age is of constant concern. The Vatican planned to issue a communique later on today. In the meantime, cars with Vatican license plates speeding toward Rome's hospital there. It was the same Roman Catholic teaching hospital where he was taken to when he was shot in the abdomen in 1981, at which he had undergone several operations. There is an issue alert for tomorrow for a number of states. I do know of three of them, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa. People with breathing problems are being warned to limit outdoor activity in these areas because of what they call very severe weather, stagnant air, breathing fine particles, they say, soot, dust, liquid droplets, 1/30th the width of a human hair, at current levels can aggravate respiratory problems for children and the elderly and those with existing breathing problems. Fine particles are also linked to heart problems. I'm getting a lot of emails from people who say, George, I've never seen anything like this before. Here's one. I have lived in various parts of Wisconsin all my life, and tonight, for the very first time, an air quality warning. What's going on? Here's one from Iowa. Just want you to know that we are under an air advisory, stagnation alert for tomorrow. I've never seen this before. So it's happening in quite a number of states in the Midwest. Well, first they say sunshine is no good for you and that you can develop cancer, and now they're saying that sunshine could stop some skin cancers from growing. Well, that's what they say. One of the reasons they believe is that somehow the sun helps get vitamin D into your system, and so it will help deadly skin cancers such as malignant melanoma and others such as non-Hodgkin's type lymphomas. I don't understand these studies. This one was by a Swedish researcher, so at one point, they also say, don't take in too much sun, so you just have to be careful, I guess. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer has acknowledged that a 1999 study found that Alzheimer's patients taking the painkiller Celebrex were up to four times more likely to have cardiovascular risk factors than those taking a simple placebo. The findings prompted a consumer group to renew its call for the government to ban Pfizer from selling Celebrex, as well as the arthritis drug Bextra. Public Citizen said Celebrex raised the risk of serious cardiovascular events 3.6 times that of the placebo. Pfizer, in a statement, said that the Celebrex patients' health problems mean definitive conclusions about cardiovascular risk cannot be drawn from the 1999 study. In a moment, our guest Dr. John Abramson, we're going to be talking about the overdosing of America in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Dr. John Abramson has worked as a family doctor in Appalachia and in Hamilton, Massachusetts, and has served as chairman of the Department of Family Practice at Lahey Clinic. Now, he was a Robert Wood Johnson Fellow and is currently on the clinical faculty at Harvard Medical School, where he teaches primary care. Twice voted best doctor in his area by readers of local newspapers, and three times selected by his peers as one of a handful of best family practitioners in Massachusetts. Dr. Abramson is also the author of Overdosed America, The Broken Promises of American Medicine. Lots going on, John. How are you? Welcome back.
I'm fine. It's great to be back with you, George.
Well, I want to talk with you about a number of drugs and what the FDA is or is not doing about this, but let's pick up this immediate story about Celebrex, where this group is calling on the FDA to get this Celebrex off the market right now. Pfizer apparently is going to stand pat. Mm-hmm. What's happening here?
Well, I think there are two questions. One is, does Celebrex cause more heart disease than the other older drugs? And I think the jury is probably still out. I'd like to take a moderate position on that. But there are two very big problems. Number one is that the big study that the manufacturer did that was published in 2000 showed that Celebrex is no more effective and it's no safer than the older drugs that cost a tenth as much. So one wonders why we've used $13 billion worth of Celebrex. That's the first question. Why are we using it? The second issue, which came up today, the study that Pfizer did that they completed in June of 1999 was not even submitted to the FDA for 2 years, which meant that the findings in this study that show that there are greater heart risks were not included in the FDA's advisory committee meeting of February 2001. And the real problem, George, with American medicine, there are many problems, and I'm looking forward to talking about other drugs with you, but the real problem in American medicine is the quality of our medical knowledge. Everyone has a sense that the drug companies have become too powerful, and everyone has a sense that there's this cat and mouse game that goes on between the drug companies trying to fool us and those of us who are trying to protect the public interest, trying to unravel what these world-class magicians are doing to trick us. But this study that was hidden for 2 years, even from the FDA and never published in a medical journal, shows how doctors can be so misled when they read the best medical journals, they follow the best scientific evidence, but the drug companies are controlling what the docs know. That's really the core problem.
And what also is really serious now, John, too, is you don't know what drugs are safe and what drugs are good for you. I mean, you lose the confidence of these large pharmaceutical companies, and you definitely lose the faith and confidence in the FDA, and you don't know what to do. I mean, I'm sure there are some good drugs on the market that have been very helpful to some people, but how do you know what they are now?
That's exactly the problem. I mean, there's a miracle drug that treats chronic myelogenous leukemia. One of your colleagues, you said, recently died of leukemia.
Yes.
A different kind. But there are miracle drugs out, and I'm not against all drugs. But the point you raise is exactly right, George. Nobody knows anymore. The doctors don't have access to good information. The patients don't have access to good information. It's really a crisis. And it reminds me of the crisis that Teddy Roosevelt faced 100 years ago when the last round of technology, the coal, oil, steel industries, the railroads, had the technology matured to the point where those industries had so much money that they could distort the market and make unjustified profits when they weren't delivering social value for the money they were charging. Well, Teddy Roosevelt stepped up to the plate. He was a Republican. He stepped up to the plate and he said, look, these businesses only exist because society allows them to exist. And when they don't serve the basic institutions of our country, then we've got to stop them. What we need right now is another Teddy Roosevelt, because the drug industry has too much money and influence. And what they can do is they create the knowledge that the doctors believe is true. And the doctors don't understand that 80% of the knowledge that they believe to be true is closer to an infomercial than to real hard-nosed science.
What's wrong with just simple aspirin for people?
simple aspirin works quite well for arthritis, George. It can irritate the stomach, so people have to be careful.
You can take the coated kind.
You can take the coated kind, and most people can take it without a problem. I think one of the real problems in most arthritis treatment, most arthritis is wear and tear arthritis. We all get it as we get older. And as these drug companies develop expensive products, they push the idea at us that we shouldn't have to tolerate any discomfort at all. So we turn to medicines at a very low threshold. And I think we need to reclaim responsibility for our own health and realize that there will be some aches and pains involved. We can't get rid of all of them. Now, when we can't function well, when we can't relax, when it's a nagging, aching pain, then we should do something. You're absolutely right. Coated aspirin is one approach that works very well, as does acetaminophen. The brand name is Tylenol. They work very well. And low doses of the other over-the-counter anti-inflammatory agents like Advil and Aleve, I would buy them in generic to save some money, can be very effective if taken intermittently. I don't think people should take it all the time.
Biggest selling drugs right now seem to be these statins, these cholesterol-eating drugs. Mm-hmm. And those apparently are coming under fire as well, aren't they?
This is the next big story that's going to break, George. I am part of a group of docs who have written a letter to the National Institutes of Health calling for a reevaluation of the cholesterol guidelines. And this is why. The guidelines that were published in July said that people at moderate or elevated risk of heart disease should take a cholesterol-lowering drug if their LDL level is 100 or above. It lowered the threshold from 130 to 100 and said they should be offered a statin drug if their cholesterol is 100 or above. It was published in the Journal of the American Heart Association called Circulation, and no financial ties with the drug companies were declared. Well, it turns out 8 of the 9 experts who wrote these guidelines have financial ties to statin makers. And the doc who has the most financial ties is a full-time employee of the NIH who received $114,000 in consulting fees between 2001 and 2003 from the statin makers while he was getting a full-time salary from the federal government.
Incredible.
And the really incredible thing is that the guidelines misrepresent the scientific evidence. So the really incredible thing is that there is no evidence from randomized controlled studies that women who do not have heart disease benefit from taking a cholesterol-lowering statin drug.
If you were taking a cholesterol-reducing drug right now, and there are a lot of brands out there, mm-hmm. would you, John Abramson, stop taking it?
It depends what my risk factors were, George. But my risk would have to be very high in order to continue taking it. Most people, an average LDL level for people taking these drugs would be about 150. LDL is bad cholesterol,
mm-hmm.
would be about 150. The key study shows that men who take a cholesterol-lowering drug will reduce their risk of heart disease by 37%, men with other risk factors who have a bad cholesterol level of 150. Now, that sounds like a slam dunk. Everybody would want to reduce their level of their risk of heart disease by 37%.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a big but. But three things. Number one is there's no reduction in cardiovascular mortality. There's no reduction in overall death. And in fact, there's no reduction in serious illnesses, in illnesses that cause hospitalization, permanent disability, cancer, or death.
Well, it sounds like then that maybe high cholesterol levels don't kill you.
Well, what's happening is you're just exchanging diseases, exchanging one serious disease for another. And much like the story with Celebrex, the real issue with statins is we're talking about the wrong thing, because eating a Mediterranean diet reduces your risk of heart disease much more than lowering your cholesterol with drugs, and it may not even lower your cholesterol. It works by a different mechanism. Exercising regularly lowers your risk of heart disease much more than taking a statin drug. Same thing with quitting smoking. So that, for example, we know that women who live a healthy lifestyle, that means exercising regularly, eating a healthy diet, not smoking, drinking in moderation, and maintaining a healthy body weight, women who do those five things have 83% less heart disease than the women who don't do those things.
Here's a message in from a Richard in South Carolina. He says, I have rheumatoid arthritis It's a very different and very serious type situation than regular people with just arthritis. Celebrex has been a miracle drug for me. If they take it off the market, I will suffer. The heart risk is worth it for me. Now, how do you answer that?
Well, I say to Richard a couple of things. One is that I am in complete agreement with him that rheumatoid arthritis is a whole different kettle of fish than osteoarthritis. It's an inflammatory disease where we make antibodies to our own joints. So it's a much more serious problem. Those people do need ongoing therapy, just like Richard says. Number two, when we look at large studies, we see that Celebrex is no more effective for the average person in the study than the older drugs. But there is no such thing as an average person. There is idiosyncratic reaction to different drugs. So I believe Richard when he tells me that he gets more relief from Celebrex than other anti-inflammatory drugs, even though the average person doesn't. And the third thing is that the heart risk with Celebrex, I believe, is unproven. I'm certainly critical of the drug industry. I think they're out for their own interests, and they're tricking the American people into thinking they're not. But that said, I think that we ought not to overreact, and I believe that the heart risk of Celebrex is not yet established. So if I were in charge here, I wouldn't pull Celebrex from the market, but I would make everybody informed so that doctors and patients both were informed about the truth about Celebrex, which is it's no gentler on the stomach. For the average patient, it's no more effective, and overall it's no safer. And then I think we would have a few patients left like Richard who would genuinely benefit from this drug and probably ought to be able to take it. But the majority of people who don't need it, who may be exposed to risk, would understand that there's no advantage.
And I think, John, one of the biggest problems, too, and we've touched on this, is the factor of the lies and deceit by these companies and some members of the FDA to pull the wool over our eyes, all of us here in this country. And to me, that's criminal.
Oh, George, it's just appalling. The story with Celebrex is really, it's a classic. Celebrex really got going after an article in one of our most trusted journals, the Journal of the American Medical Association, was published in September of 2000. The article said Celebrex, when taken for 6 months, reduces the risk of serious stomach problems compared to the older drugs. Well, the truth is it wasn't a six-month study. It was a 12-month study. All 12 months had been completed at the time that article was submitted to for publication. And the second 6 months of the study showed that Celebrex was worse than the other drugs. Six of the seven serious complications that occurred in the second half of that study occurred in the people who were taking Celebrex rather than the people who were taking the older drugs. So when you talk about lies and deceit, the FDA analysts understood that the drug company wanted to publish an article about just the first half of the study. The FDA analysts said, no, that's not valid. The statistical reason you've given for that is not valid. The drug company published the 6 months, and the doctors who were reading the Journal of the American Medical Association believed it was a safer drug when the drug company knew it wasn't. Knew it wasn't. So a drug rep, I practiced for 20 years, yeah. Family practice. I stopped practicing to write this book, and what caused me to stop was the misrepresentation of Vioxx and Celebrex. The book turns on Vioxx and Celebrex in the third chapter. When I didn't used to talk to drug reps. I didn't see any reason to because they were obviously trying to get me to use their drugs.
Right.
And I should know a hell of a lot more about science than they do, or I'm not doing my job. But a drug rep, just as I was finishing practice, a drug rep, and I had a nurse watch this so that there wouldn't be a legal problem, but a drug rep came in to try and sell me Celebrex, and I said, well, what is it about? I was kind of playing dumb. I said, what is it about this second 6 months of the study that wasn't included in the article that was published? I've heard a little bit about it. He said, we're going to publish that later, not a big deal, but let me get you a reprint. So he went out to his car, and he brought me back one of those glossy reprints that you hear about the drug reps handing out, and it was this article from the Journal of the American Medical Association that only had the first 6 months of the study. Stamped on the front of that article that he handed out, in big black print, was this article contains unsubstantiated comparative claims. The FDA had made the drug company admit that they were making unsubstantiated claims in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and the drug company still had the gall to hand that out to doctors to get them to prescribe Celebrex. That's how bad it is.
Well, we'll continue to monitor this situation, John. Your website, OverdosedAmerica.com. New book out. John was a guest of ours in November. Overdosed America, The Broken Promises of American Medicine. And I assume that's doing very well for you now, is it not, Doctor?
It's doing well, and the feedback I'm getting is just spectacular. And it's due to people like you, George, who help us get this story out about how Americans are being so taken advantage of by the drug companies. We've got to stand up. Take back control of our medicine and our health.
I hear you. Thanks, John. Appreciate you being on the program. Dr. John Abramson. In a moment, I'll be back with Open Lines. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109.
Talk with George Norrie. Call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Hey, before we go to open lines, let's talk about some of the stories of the day beyond what we just talked about. Well, listen to this. Now, remember when Bill Clinton was running for president and then he was up for re-election and people kept coming up with a theory that he was going to be the president for life, that something was going to happen, there'd be no elections anymore, and then they started saying the same thing about George W. Bush. Well, now get this. First of all, former U.S. President Bill Clinton will serve as the U.N. envoy for tsunami reconstruction efforts in South Asia. U.S. Secretary General Kofi Annan believes that no one could possibly be better qualified for this task. The Secretary General says he's confident that President Clinton will bring energy and focus to the task of sustaining world interest in the vital recovery and reconstruction phase. At President George W. Bush's request, Clinton and former President George H.W. Bush are helping to encourage private sector financial support to help tsunami-struck areas. When named to that position last month, Clinton said monetary donations to aid agencies were the best way to help. So he's going to head that up. But a lot of people are theorizing that this is just a setup for Bill Clinton to end up running the United Nations. So, in essence, he becomes president of the world. Well, they may be both be out of office, but Bill Clinton remains the ultimate boogeyman for former Senator Jesse Helms, the Republican. In a fundraising letter to the senatorial library, Helms invokes the specter of the former president leading the United Nations after Kofi Annan retires next year. This is a quote from Helms. He's 83 years old, and he says, I'm sure you might agree that putting a left-wing, undisciplined, and ethically challenged former president of the United States in a position of such power would be a tragic mistake, says Helms. A spokesperson for Clinton did not respond to a call. Clinton has said nothing publicly about wanting to lead the UN. Watch what happens. My prediction. A photograph posted on an Islamic website. Now, this is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. It's on the coasttocoastam.com website, and Matt Drudge on the drudgereport.com did a great job with this story this morning and still has this picture. A photograph posted on an Islamic website appears to be that of an action figure and not a U.S. soldier being held hostage. Lime Cusack, the marketing coordinator for a company called Dragon Models USA, said the figure pictured on the website is believed to be a special ops Cody, a military action figure that the company made in the late 2003. It pretty much looks exactly like the real person. Cusack said he was contacted in the morning by one of his retailers, who informed him that the alleged hostage appeared to be one of the company's action figures. I thought at first, he says, this was a joke. But after reading a report on a news website about a U.S. soldier being captured, I looked at it and said, that does look like one of our action figures. Our military says that no units have reported anyone missing. Cody is an action figure the company made for the Army and Air Force Exchange Service, which supplies U.S. military bases worldwide with various items. The doll was meant to look like a U.S. soldier who might be serving in Iraq. On the Islamic website, a group calling itself the Al-Mujahideen Brigade posted a photograph of a man it claimed was a captured U.S. soldier. It threatened to behead him if Iraqi prisoners are not released by U.S. forces. What that entire picture really is, when you look close, is the little figurine of this model propped up against a little tiny wall and sign. You could see a machine gun being held at his little head, but that's the toy machine gun that comes with the kit. Absolutely bizarre, but the story in the post is on the coasttocoastam.com website. In Connecticut, despite what residents may have seen on television, the state of Connecticut has not been ordered evacuated. Don't panic. State emergency management officials believe someone pressed the wrong button instead of running a test. You see, in this business, we have what is called the emergency alert system in case anything does go wrong and we need to notify the world to head for the hills. Well, midday, television viewers and radio listeners were being told the state was being evacuated. According to the Office of Emergency Management there, there's absolutely no evacuation or state emergency. The department was investigating how the alert was sent. Officials said that it manually releases it to the broadcasters. So don't worry, those of you in Connecticut. In Ecuador, however, hundreds of tremors off the coast of Ecuador in the past 11 days has now sparked fears that a bigger quake could strike soon. I'm going to believe Jim Berkeland when he says full moons have a lot to do with this, and new moons. So let's wait and see what happens. But they say this is not normal. They've had way too many tremors, 320 of them, more than four on the Richter scale. The shape of Ecuador's coastline would prevent the formation of a tsunami like the one which smashed into parts of Asia in December. And that's good news. A passenger ship with about 700 college students aboard limped into Honolulu Harbor 5 days after a huge wave tossed the vessel around in heavy seas, damaging three of its four engines and injuring two crew members. It's a 591-foot boat called the Explorer. Actually, it's a ship with 990 people aboard, 650 miles south of Alaska when all this happened. The 50-foot wave broke furniture and computers on the ship, and students participating in the Semester at Sea program were forced to sit on the floor for classes for several days after the incident. Video footage showing the students sitting on the floor, sliding back and forth, ramming into each other into the wall as the waves rolled the ship. In New York, a man who was expecting to find his recently deceased father's belongings in a plastic bag sent from a funeral home instead found something a little more gruesome, a human leg. The guy's 35 years old. He lost his father, 77-year-old, last week. Hospital was supposed to turn over the belongings, but later he smelled something coming out of the bag, opened it up, discovered a leg with a toe tag attached to it. At first he thought maybe they put his father's amputated arm in there. They did not. It turned out to be the leg even of somebody else, not even his own father. And a Texas man has been charged with removing a pacemaker from his dead mother's body with a kitchen knife, and refuses to give it to authorities because he's in a 10-year dispute with doctors and the medical device company, and he needs to prove that the device was faulty. They're looking at him for evidence tampering. So we will be back with your open lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go right to the phones now for open lines. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking about the possibility of danger with these nuclear power plants. What's out there? David Lochbaum will be our guest. He's a scientist. He is one of the nation's foremost authorities into these nuclear power plants. We'll be talking with him. As you know, a few weeks ago, there was a major episode at the Fermi 2 power plant in Michigan between Detroit and Toledo. And just lots of things going on you need to know about. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
This is Albert Serafini. I'm on the air, right?
Yes, you are, Albert.
Okay, it's nice talking to you. You know, I love your show, and it's really nice. I have a story to tell.
Okay.
One Christmas, it was a Christmas holiday, and I was on I was up in my room, and I had an argument with my mom and stepfather. I came downstairs, and my father's favorite rose flower was the rose, you know?
Yeah.
And basically, I came back upstairs, and there were rose petals on the bed. There were red rose petals.
I mean, now, was there a rose any place in the house?
No, there was nothing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, tell me about your father.
My father was a band leader in Cleveland. His name was Al Serafini. He'd be 76 if he was alive.
Roses. Just his little way of saying, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, thanks for the story.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Yep. I like those stories. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. This is Mike calling from Detroit.
Hey, Mike, my hometown.
Yep. I have a story for you that it's a little bit unusual. We can actually pinpoint the state. I'm sorry I haven't really done my homework, but it was the day that the tornado hit West Bloomfield. It was like in the 70s.
I was there.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I sure was. Matter of fact, I went out there as I wasn't a reporter at the time. I was an executive producer for WJBK Channel 2, and I went out there and witnessed the damage, and it was incredible. Those houses were once gorgeous.
Yeah, that's a really rich area there. Well, what happened is I was always like fascinated with tornadoes, and at the time I was young and dumb. I was like, I think in my early 20s at the time, and when the tornado warning came about, I actually went on the roof of the garage with me, my little sister, her friend.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and with a pair of binoculars. Like, I was determined to see a tornado.
You imagine first of all, did you see it?
Well, no, I saw something more interesting. Actually, I was in Royal Oak, so it actually, we got the bad weather, but I was looking at the sky, and the sky turned like jet black. It looked like someone put a black curtain across the sky. I've never seen anything like
that. Would have put you around 13 in Woodward, right around there?
Yeah, I was more right around 11 in Woodward.
Yeah, okay. Can you imagine what would have happened to all of you had that thing come by?
I know.
It would have just blown you right off the roof.
The dumbest thing you could possibly do. You're supposed to take shelter in a basement. We're like on a garage.
And I guess because of pressure, you're supposed to open your windows because you don't want them to implode, I guess. And, man, you were lucky.
Yeah, but this was like unbelievable because I was I was there with the binoculars. I always wanted to see a tornado, and I'm looking at the just like a black sheet basically through the binoculars, and then like out of my I guess peripheral vision, I saw I guess this would have been coming from the west. This thing streaked past and then stopped in the sky and was wobbling. And for a minute, I couldn't figure out, you know, wow, what's that? And I'm looking at it with binoculars, and it was like the classic-looking UFO. It didn't have any lines on it. It looked like, you know, a flying saucer, basically, and it was, like, really shiny, like silver metallic. And with the binoculars, I could see it almost as well as if you're holding a penny in front of your face. And everybody saw it, but they didn't get the, you know, look I got at it. And they're like going, give me the binoculars. I'm going, no, no. You know?
Could it have been some piece of a building or something that got ripped off by the tornado out there?
No, because then out of the, I mean, this sounds incredible, but I swear to you, this really, this is absolutely true. And I have like, I can actually get witnesses. And what I'm wondering too is there's like spotters, you know, looking for tornadoes.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if anyone else actually saw this. I never, like, researched it, you know, enough to see, like, if any of the weather spotters reported this. But it was a disc that was, like, hovering. And then from the – that was came from the left. And from the right side, another one came and landed above it. And they just were hovering in the air. And they looked like – you know, if you take two magnets and try to hold them together.
And they pull and push themselves apart.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me of that. They had that kind of a wobble. And this – I know this sounds incredible, but this – you know, I have witnesses. It actually happened. And then another one came from the left. Another one came from the right until there was about six of them hovering on over each other.
I wonder if they caused the tornado.
That's what I was wondering.
Because, you know, what are the odds of having a tornado and then seeing several UFOs roll in right after that? That is weird. Hey, thanks for the call. The clock is ticking. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Well, howdy. It's Greg from June, Alaska, KINY.
Hey, what's going on? I
had a different slant on a Joppa or Yeti or Bigfoot, whatever you want
to
call it.
Yeah, what'd you do? See one?
Well, I won't comment on that. I'll tell you, I've seen signs of it. If I say more than that, it's.
Why? Are you like some government person?
What's that?
Are you some government person? You
no,
can't tell
but
me.
I, you know, some people recognize my voice, and that's okay. But let me give you a spiel on it. Maybe you can pry a little more out of me as I go.
I'll try. All right.
The reason why most people don't the reason why they don't get caught is they're smarter than most people. They're smarter than humans, and they're masters of the forest. You know, you'll find them in places where. There's not a lot of people, and there's a lot of thick cover and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
There's a good analogy of like these.
Tell me something I don't know.
Oh, well, they're not apes either. And the things tell you that I do know what I'm talking about is there's a difference in the teeth structure and in the foot structure in both men and humans.
How do you know about the teeth structure? You'd have to be very close to one to see this.
Yeah, or you could see something they ate too. So I have seen. Things they've eaten, and I have seen their prints.
Have you ever seen one of them?
I'll leave that to your imagination. I've been very close to them.
I have
a lot of friends that have.
Here's the thing. You've captured one, haven't you?
No, and I don't think they should be captured. I think there's kind of a bad attitude among most humans.
Well, you know, most people shoot first.
What's that?
Most people will shoot first, unfortunately.
Well, it's better to capture it alive, but let me give you another angle. Maybe you don't agree with it, but a different approach is why not go to the place where they live and learn from them there rather than cut them up or take them to your environment?
I agree, but can you tell us exactly where they live?
Well, I give you a clue. If people want to go out, I'm not going to tell you where they are. I cover their tracks up. I don't tell people where the tracks are. I cover them up so that people don't find them.
Do you have good pictures of these?
I don't take pictures. That's the whole thing. The thing is the natives and people that have been in the woods and live in the woods know about these things.
Oh, I know that. How many have you seen?
Well, I've seen more than one. Let's put it that way. If you want to go out and you want to see it, you want to learn from these things, you go out in groups of one to three people with no firearms and no metal, and you go out to areas that are inaccessible to people and where a place was where they can get away with a lot of thick underbrush, and that puts you at their mercy. But they're comfortable, and that's all. They'll come to you. When you come to them, they're not. You'll never find them. It's like a revenueer going up in the hillbillies Appalachians and trying to find a moonshiner. Well, the moonshiner's going to know a long time ago before the revenue shows up, because that's their home territory. The same thing with a Joppa. That's his home turf, and he's going to know when something foreign or someone that doesn't live there is in his area.
You're not that guy who was on that Discovery TV show.
I'm not on any. I've been on. This is the first time I've talked about any program. But I've been around him. I think I know what I'm talking about. So that's a slant. You know, don't try and capture them. You know, go out there and live with them. You know, if you wanted to learn about watchmaking, you go to where the best watchmakers are. You go
of
to
course.
Germany or you go to Switzerland.
Of
you
course.
You import the guy here and stick him in psychoanalyze him in some laboratory. You know, that's a...
What,
you know,
all right, so what's the best place to go to see him?
You go to a place where, you know...
Give me an area. Give me a location.
And meet him on... Well, I'll tell you, some of the places you can go in Washington. There's a lot of them in Washington.
State of, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good
As
place.
As opposed to the capital.
You know, that doesn't give you a whole lot to go on. But, you know, you go in areas where there's... Here's another thing. They don't live in places where there's either bears or there's them. They don't usually... They usually have their own separate turf.
They don't like bears.
Well, you know, it's just like a brown bear and a black bear. They have their own neighborhoods. they don't mix too much.
Yeah.
Because usually someone ends up getting killed. So they usually keep to themselves and keep their own borders and stay to themselves.
All right, sounds like it's pretty indicative of the entire planet, doesn't it? Nothing seems to get along on this planet. But thanks. Appreciate it. Open lines continue. Friday night, we will have a special 3 hours of open lines for you that night, and a special hotline opened as well, so make sure you're part of that program. But when we come back, it'll be David Lochbaum. We're going to talk about nuclear safety. I'll be back in a moment. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Naked to the world, in front of every kind of girl.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
Out of the middle came a lady. She whispered in my ear something crazy. She said, feel hot flames of fire roaring at my back.